Joining us now from CBS Radio is Stephen Kaufman. He has been covering the Beaver Creek fire in Idaho. And Stephen, from the reports we're getting, it looks like the fire finally is losing some of its momentum.
Certainly is, Mike. I interviewed the incident commander, Beth Lund, late yesterday, and she was predicting major gains this week. And now I just got the figures that 30% containment, that's up from 9% yesterday. The acreage, 106,323. The personnel numbers dropped a little bit because crews are timing out. They're only allowed to be working for 2 weeks. And so from about 1,800 down to about 1,700, and still only one home destroyed. That is the amazing thing about this particular blaze, the largest in the country, but only one home destroyed.
Stephen, what are some of the problems that the fire crews have been experiencing while trying to battle this blaze?
Well, this is central Idaho. You have there are high mountains here. This is rugged, rock outcroppings. You have some rattlesnakes out there. You have burning stumps, obviously burning trees. You can walk through these burned out areas and fall into this hole. They have to watch themselves. You know, snags can fall over because they've been burned out. There have been gusty winds. They have to keep an eye on embers that might get blown over into an area that has not burned. So there's a lot to watch out for.
Stephen Kaufman with us from CBS, giving us some insights on the Beaver Creek fire. As he mentioned, almost miraculously, only one house was actually lost in this fire, while tens of thousands of acres have been destroyed. Now, you also mentioned, though, that thousands of people had to evacuate. Any timetable as far as when those people might be able to start coming back home?
Well, once again, the incident commander, Beth Lund, mentioned to me, she said she expects not only have to have the containment figure rise quite a bit this week, which it already is now. She said she expects the increase in flow of people back to their homes. So I'm sure that's going to be announced later today as far as, many hundreds more people going back to their homes. So especially with the containment figure rising.
And this is the last thing, we don't probably give them enough credit, but when you talk about true heroes, these fire crews are amazing, aren't they?
Well, certainly are, and I've seen this the same thing wherever I cover fires, whether it's in California or Montana, in Utah I've been. You see the signs go up. They're on marquees, restaurant marquees. We love you, firefighters. Thank you so much, firefighters. And, in fact, I remember in Colorado Springs, actually in Manitou Springs, Colorado, last summer, when they had hundreds and hundreds of homes destroyed, there were people lined up along the roadway. I haven't seen that here, but people were lined up along the roadway cheering the fire trucks when they go by.
Great insights. And again, thanks for all the updates. It is Stephen Kaufman from CBS Radio with the latest on the Beaver Creek fire. He said good news, 30% containment. Looks like the weather's cooperating, more humidity in the air there. That will help the firefighters. But as you mentioned in your question, Matt, the terrain is so challenging there. I mean, you're even dealing with rattlesnakes besides just trying to get into some areas. But that just made this fire so much more difficult to fight.
Yeah, and some of the flames are in some hard-to-get-to places, yeah. So the fire crews have had some challenges. There's always challenges. It's always just different terrain in different parts of the country.
Speaking of challenges, the NSA documents that the Guardian newspaper basically received and then made sure they put out on their edition. Well, it's been interesting to see the response from both the U.S. and also Great Britain. Matt brought up the fact yesterday that a couple of the information on were actually destroyed in London, and they gave their reasons why. Alan Ressenbridge is the editor of the Guardian paper and talked a little bit about his reaction and the threats that were put on him and the paper to give this information to authorities.
If their aim was to stop the Guardian from reporting, that wasn't going to work. We will just transfer our reporting to America, where there is better protection in law for journalism.
Yeah, he said he couldn't quite understand even why they wanted to destroy those discs because they had other copies in the U.S.
I don't know what changed or why they felt that destroying a copy in London was important, but they seemed relatively unconcerned about a copy held in identical circumstances in America.
Russ Bridger says he doesn't want to say that there is bodily harm, but there certainly were verbal threats to the paper, and there was talk that if they didn't turn the stuff over, there would be repercussions.
They explicitly threatened us with prior restraint. That is, they were going to go to the law to get all this material back and stop us writing about it.
Meanwhile, British Justice Minister Damian Green says they were justified in their actions. There are laws dealing with terrorist practices in England, and they felt this information certainly could be a detriment not only to the U.S., but the West in general.
The Metropolitan Police were acting as they do under the law, that the law is there to protect us from anything that will increase the danger of terrorism.
And they felt that this information and those documents, in particular those discs, did. So that's why they had them destroyed, even though there are other copies here in the U.S. But interesting story going on with the NSA. Next half hour, we'll talk a little bit more about Nidal Hassan's trial. The prosecution has rested. Will he call any defense witnesses, and will he take the stand? We'll talk more about that with Mike Matt in the Morning News here on WTAQ. News, talk, sports.
It's 7:20 with Mike and Matt. This story from the BBC, at least 20 people have been killed after a packed bus plunged into a deep ravine near a Malaysian mountain resort, according to officials. The bus was carrying dozens of passengers, crashed into the Genting Highlands in Pahang this afternoon. Some passengers were rescued alive from the crash site, sent to nearby hospitals, but there are fears the death toll could rise even further. Again, the death toll right now, about 20 people. Rescue workers are at the scene, which is said to be inaccessible by roads, so they're tying off ropes trying to get down. But this bus plunged into a ravine, goes off the road, and now they're dealing with trying to clean up that crash site and hoping they can get some more survivors out of this.
And as you said, because of the difficulty of location, this is not going to be an easy search and rescue.
The bus fell about 200 feet after it veered off the road, and workers have been using ropes, cranes to reach the site. Local media reports said the bus was carrying up to 49 passengers when it crashed and that 16 people had been rescued alive from the site. Officials say they are unable to confirm the nationalities of the victims at this time. But if there were 49 passengers, we know, according to media reports, 16 have been rescued alive, 20 considered dead, which means 13
are just missing,
still unaccounted for as they were trying to clear out this crash site.
Let's hope we can find some more survivors.
It's 7:21 with Mike and Matt. Story from the Journal Sentinel. Wisconsin graduates in the class of 2013 who took the ACT college admission test posted an average score of 22.1, according to results released by the state today. That average score for Wisconsin held steady from 2012, even though scores of students who needed extra time to take the exam were factored into the results for the first time at the state and national level. Now, Wisconsin tied with Iowa for the second highest composite ACT score among states where more than half of the students actually take the ACT.
Okay.
Among those states, Minnesota has the number one average ACT score of 23. So it's Minnesota, Wisconsin,
so we're all really
Iowa.
Close. Yeah.
Nice.
Nice upper Midwest. I'm a little surprised. I just thought that number would be a little bit higher because aren't most colleges requiring like 24 now on that score?
I don't know what the requirement is. Depends. It's based,
I suppose,
on
depends
each
on the school and what else you've done. Yeah.
In many states, the SAT is actually the predominant college entrance exam as well. So the latest ACT results by school and by district in Wisconsin can be searched on the DPI website. The nationwide average score was 20.9 on the ACT, a 36-point test that consists of tests of English, reading, mathematics, science. Everybody's probably familiar with that.
Yes.
Since 2001, 71% of Wisconsin grads each year have taken the exam, but that participation rate is poised to increase once the ACT becomes part of a statewide testing program for 11th graders in the 2014-2015 school year. Oh. Now, overall, 74% of Wisconsin public and private school grads in the class of 2013 took the ACT, recommended core curriculum of 4 years of English, 3 years each of math, science, social studies, that according to the DPI. Wisconsin students taking that recommended core curriculum had subject-level scores that averaged 2.4 points higher than state students who didn't take the recommended course load, which makes sense.
No, it does. Yeah.
If you're taking the tougher courses and what's actually going to be on the test, that sort of curriculum, you should do better.
Yeah, you'll be familiar with what's on the test. So
and
that,
you
yeah.
should be better prepared once then you get out of high school.
And just kind of common sense. Yeah.
I mean, that's the theory. Mm-hmm. That's the theory. The percentage of Wisconsin grads who took the recommended core curriculum varied by racial group. Only 54% of the state's black grads who took the ACT followed the core curriculum, compared with 67% of Latino grads, 78% of white graduates. Average composite ACT scores change little from year to year, but we're sitting right now at 22.1.
Yeah, I mean, above the national average, right near the top, so that's not too bad. So nice job, the students and teachers, for really focusing in on doing well.
Can't complain about that. 724 with Mike and Matt.
WTAQ News, Talk, Sports.
Fox 11 forecast, well, sun trying to break through the clouds, going to be sticky today, kind of hot and muggy. Good chance of showers and thunderstorms returning late afternoon, early evening. Once that comes through, we're going to have cooler temperature. Today, we're going to flirt with 90, then tomorrow, partly sunny and 80. Friday, partly sunny, 79, before it starts a warming trend toward the weekend. Currently, mostly cloudy skies, 71 in the valley and in Green Bay.
This is a big day today, Mike.
Today
big. Big
day. Let me think.
Day.
August 21st. Why is that such a big day?
According to the New York Daily News, Cindy Leather's adult film will be released today.
Did you have this circled on your calendar?
Of course, she's the Anthony Weiner mistress.
Yeah, she is.
Have you heard what the title of the movie is?
No, I haven't.
Weiner and Me.
You made that up.
No.
Really?
No, I did not make that
okay.
up. Okay. No, I would have picked something much worse.
Wiener and Me.
Wiener and Me. Yes. Okay. That according to the New York Daily News.
I think I can pass.
Can you?
I can.
All right.
I don't know if you can because you're such a curious guy.
I really am. But I'm really.
And you're doing only for show research.
I'm really not interested in this, to be quite honest.
Wow.
Because if Anthony Weiner deemed her good enough.
Yes.
I don't want to know. I don't look at that guy as having a high standards.
Okay.
That's for sure.